Hi, my name is Slinky. Thank you for listening to My Mom. I never listen.
Oh yeah, there she is. Can't believe we get Robin Roberts. This is absolutely amazing. Thanks, Robin, for 24 hours, nothing but net, for being on our live stream with us once again.
Always look forward to being with you, Debbie. And I'm just so incredibly proud of what you continue to do year in and year out. Your consistency is just incredible. A real testament to us all.
Well, you know, once we hit that certain number, you got to keep staying active. And there's no better way to stay active than doing something with a passion and a purpose like Special Olympics, which has meant so much to our family. As you know, you helped us cross over a million. We are very excited about entering into the space of a second million, which is not anything I ever thought I'd be saying.
Well, I'm about to say, what when you originally started this, I mean, and it is pure, your passion for this and your purpose for this, but did you have any idea that we would be here talking about your second million? Already got the first million, but you're working on the second million.
No, I mean, it was a crazy idea, right, Robin? I mean, a lot of people shook their head like, what? What are you going to do? And I'm training so hard to be ready to do it at such a high level so the story can be better. And it takes a lot of physical, mental, emotional to get there. But I didn't even think I would get to point something million. I have no idea if this would work or if I could even do it at the beginning. And now I'm just trying to hang in there, you know, like free throw burpees and planks and push-ups and sit-ups and weights and sprints and bikes. And I mean, you name it, I'm trying to do it to make sure I have, I stay healthy so I can do it at a high level.
I know you're supposed to be interviewing me, but I want to talk to you. What's the hardest part? What's the hardest part?
The bike is always challenging for me because I'm really pushing it on there, you know, so I have a Bowflex bike. It's similar to the Peloton, same thing. That's challenging. The free throw burpees is probably the hardest. So the bar that you put in your door frame to do pull-ups on, I put that in the driveway. And so I go free throw, burpee, free throw, burpee. And I do 10 sets of 25 makes. And that's a good challenge because it's a compound exercise with the free throws. Like I would get bored if I just stood out there and just, you know, shot free throws. I need something else. And everyone's doing, you know, high intensity stuff and, you know, different than when you and I play. Like the training is so different. So I try to steal a little something from a strength coach here or there, or find an activity that might be a little more challenging. But I'm definitely doing more weights than I am doing, you know, cardio or running. That to me, like strengthening my lower body is really important.
Yeah.
It's crazy, Robin.
What was your free throw percentage at NC State? I'm just curious.
You know what? Somebody recently sent that to me, and it was in the high 70s. But I will tell you, the only time I ever got to the free throw line, really, is if the other team got a technical foul. I wasn't a driver. So,
come on, baby. You're in the ring of honor. You're in the ring of honor, so you had to be doing something right, right?
Well, I mean, I'm the best non-stat starter in NC State history. So 3 years of starting with no stats, Robin. I mean, that's hard to do, right? But it's okay. What we appreciate about players. You know, like I didn't have, you know, this explosive or high jump or this great quickness, but I could shoot it and I was in great shape. And because of those things, I think it allowed me to stay on the floor. Plus, Coach Al knew that I was the person, like, I'm going to get everybody where they're supposed to be. I'm going to make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. I think all those things led to somehow trying to make myself invaluable so she couldn't take me off the court. You know, I didn't want her to take me out. But that's not why I'm up there. I'm not up there as a player. You know, I'm up there for reasons that you and I share about our game, right? The great longevity of the career, the passion for pushing the game forward. You know, trying to help players be the best they can be by using our platform to do that. That's the reason why I think, you know, it's pretty good.
Well, that's what we have to have. You know, it's not just the players that are there on the court, those that are on the sidelines, the ones on the scout team, the ones that are there at practice, all of that. And I know you must feel the same way. When I see the game right now, when I see the WNBA, when I see college hoops, when I see Unrivaled, when I see just the appreciation for the women's game right now at a level that we've never seen before, I think.
No, I agree. I mean, I've always thought the product was the narrative in the first place. I've always pushed that in my conversations around the game, in the game, on the air. The players have always been good. We just haven't had a different way of consuming it. And now we have lots of options. And I mean, if you go on Ticketmaster or anything and you look to find a ticket, especially I work for the Indiana Fever. So I'll have like 25 Caitlin Clark games with the Fever this summer. And we're very excited about our franchise and where we're going. You know, Kelly Krosskopf came in with Amber Cox. They've made some big moves. Stephanie White's our coach. And, you know, they've built around Caitlin to do it right now. So the ticket prices are incredible. I mean, you just, you know, four different franchises have already moved their home games to bigger arenas to accommodate the Fever on the road. I think we'll see more of that because the demand is high, you know, and that's the economics of the game that I'm loving. I've been waiting for this for a long time. I call it Clarkonomics. I got a t-shirt I'm going to send you, Robin. It says Clarkonomics, and I think you'll enjoy it.
I'm sure that I will. And you all have the All-Star game. It's going to be at your there in Indiana. So we're looking for. Yeah, I think we're going to do something with GMA there. They reached out. You know, Kelly and I, we go back a long way, and I do agree with you. It was the perfect storm with Caitlin. And then when you have, and I agree with also what you were saying earlier, there, we've had great players. We've had fantastic players that just didn't get the attention. Caitlin is generational. Caitlin, I mean, yes, her game, but also the interest that she brings to the game beyond those who normally follow women's basketball. So it is the perfect storm in a lot of ways. And then you got Paige Beckers coming in. It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful to see. So I'm glad that there was a foundation for these incredible players to step on, and they are taking that baton and they are running with it, which is awesome.
I agree. You know, in the women's game more than the men's game, my schedule's about 50-50 now because I work on the men's side as well. We spend a lot of time on the women's side celebrating our past. I know that when I'm calling men's games, I'm not talking about the history of the men's game, but we do that on the women's side. And I don't know if that's recognized enough. You know, like we do celebrate the history of our game. We do celebrate our past. You know, the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame, you're a member there. There are ways that we have tried to recognize some of the greats that have put, like you said, on the shoulders or the foundation that we've been able to build. But I want to ask you, you know, you did the WNBA in its first year. Did you know the league was going to ever get to this point? How do you feel about where we are?
Oh, my goodness, Debbie. You know, I had Gino Auriemma recently on the show. And he was my analyst that first year. And it was orange and white on Monday night, the orange and white ball on Monday night. So we had a little jingle, orange and white on Monday night. And Gino and I were talking about that first year, going like, I'm not really sure it's going to be sticking around. I mean, in all sincerity. And the reason being, there were not, I credit the eight teams, the eight original teams, and I want to get a team back in Charlotte. We need a team back in Charlotte. But anyway, that's another story. Nothing against the eight teams. It was such a hard sell. It was just hard to convince people to come out during the summer. I appreciated how they closed the upper bowl to make it look more intimate. The play also, that ball was so slick. It was not there were so many turnovers, and Gino and I were talking about, the play just wasn't, we knew it could be better. So I give people credit for hanging in there, because if we're going to be honest, and the first couple of years were a little, come on now. But we knew what it could be. And here we are 25 plus years later. I don't know if I would have seen that, because how many times, Debbie, I remember college ball in Louisiana. All right. Mm-hmm. My freshman year, there was a women's professional league and there was a team in New Orleans and we scrimmaged them. I'm a freshman in college. We scrimmaged the pro women's team and we beat them. And I said to myself, this league is not going to be around by the time I get out. If a college team can beat these pros. So I'm glad that this was given time.
You had hops and you still have some rebounding records, don't you? Yeah, you do. I've got some photos. I've got some old photos.
Oh, please, no.
Oh, yeah, they're great. They're so good. Yeah,
if you want me to continue to come back with you every year, do not show those old time. No,
okay.
I loved playing when we did. No, but I'm really elated. I love Unrivaled. I don't know if you went down there at all to Miami. They built the arena for them. The play was excellent. It was exciting, 3-on-3, but full court. I just think it's great. I just think it's really wonderful that there's now this not this acceptance, but this appreciation for the women's game. Yes.
That's a good word, right? That's a big difference, right? It is an appreciation. It's not a novelty. It's a socially acceptable, like, let's go to the game. Like, I would tell you, Robin, walking around Indianapolis, you know, I've seen a lot of things in the game, but I saw something new this summer that I had not seen. I'd see like four or five dudes with a Caitlin Clark or a Lydia Boston jersey on that would look like in their late 20s, early 30s, hit the bar on the way before the game, come out of the arena, hit the bars on the, and there are jerseys and there is paraphernalia and teams. And like, I never saw the guys like that demographic, which, you know, makes me really happy. Like when I see it, I almost want to pull up and buy them around, you know, because it's kind of cool. That they see it like it's cool. It's not a it's not a question mark now. Why are you wearing that jersey? We all know why you're wearing it.
You know, Gino said the same thing because when I interviewed him, it was right after they had their big parade in Hartford. And I said, well, you know, how do you see the women's game right now? And he was saying back when they couldn't even get, you know, 5,000 people or less to come and see a game of theirs. They're completely sold out. But he talked about the very thing you just said, Debbie.
Oh,
he said, you could not get a grown man, any man, to wear a woman's jersey. And at the parade, that's all they had, all the jerseys on. It's been like that for several years. And that is the big difference right there. I remember the Women's World Cup soccer, people having, you know, seeing these guys in the stands with Mia Hamm jerseys and painting their faces and doing those kind of things. So it's great to see that it's really crossed over as it has.
Yes, that crossover demographic was one that I always felt like we needed so badly because then it enters into a whole other realm. You know, like the I'm not advocating gambling, but the sports betting industry has been good for women's sports because it does put a spotlight on 12 teams, now 13 teams in the league. It's easy for people to follow. There's more ways to consume it. And like I said, I'm not advocating for gambling, but I do like the fact that, you know, ESPN Bet, like I provide commentary on that show and I don't pick the winner or I don't tell you what, you know, but I'll give you three or four reasons why this game will be good. And it just puts more content in places that we really haven't been on before. So I think there's so many new avenues and creative ways to present our game that is very exciting. I know you're in the forefront of all of that. Mm-hmm. So thank you for lending your name and voice to all of that early on to help us get here.
Oh, I'm very happy. I was very happy to do it then, happy to do it now. And I'm just excited. I'm excited to see the growth of the game and where it's going. And I don't know how you do it, Debbie. I don't know how you've got a lot of balls in the air, but yet you still make time to do this every single year. And I know what a heavy commitment it is and how you do not take it lightly. And I love the press that you've been getting in recent years, you know, because at first everybody's like, what's going on? Oh, that's cute. And then they see how you train. And then, you know what? You're bringing eyeballs to Special Olympics. You know, and again, I love how you say when you combine your passion with a purpose like you have. And I have been somebody that have been, you know, involved in Special Olympics as well. And I got to just say, thank you. Thank you for the attention that you're bringing to it. And so how people look forward to this every year and just the amount of money that you continue to raise is just astounding.
Well, thank you, Rob.
B-Mac. You and B-Mac. I mean,
oh my God.
I'll give you the slow clap for you and B-Mac.
B-Mac's a man. He loves Past Chris Jan. I can tell you that. you want to bring a little something into BMAC's life. I mean, he has been invaluable to what we've done. He loves you and his history with you, he's proud to talk about. And thank you for leaning into what we're doing, Robin, and for lending your time to us. We're very excited about helping other families. And my man Frankie is just absolutely killing it. So
give us a little more update on Frankie. Yeah.
Well, Frankie's now not just introducing himself as a celebrity. He introduces himself as a celebrity on the Netflix show Love on the Spectrum. His roommate is Tanner. And Tanner is a main character on the show. Obviously, you've seen it.
Yes! Oh, my gosh. I love the show. Absolutely.
Tanner is exactly what you see. And he is absolutely amazing. And he is joyful all the time. And he and Frankie have been roommates for 4 years. So Frankie's gotten a few cameos on the Netflix show. And he knows exactly where he is on the show. And he's not afraid to tell you. Season 2, episode 2, 30 minutes in. I mean, he's got it down. Living independently with support in a wonderful community at Clemson. He and Tanner are roommates in a townhome that has a bunch of other Clemson Life alums. He's got two jobs. Frankie works at the Shepherd Hotel. So does Tanner. And then he works at a pizza place. And we are just going to do it as long as we can do it.
Yeah.
He says things to me now, Robin, like, I got it, or I know, or I can handle it, or I can do it. And Special Olympics helped him get a lot of confidence for that. So that's what you want. Every parent out there would, in our situation, would want their kids to say the same things.
Beautifully said, Debbie. Beautifully said. You are absolutely right. Wow. I know you kind of be over the moon. You know?
We are over the moon. How are you?
But bless you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for lending your time, Robin. It means a great deal to us personally that you would spend some time with us. And I'm going to shoot till my arm falls off. Keep shooting.
Come on now. Come on. See, that follow through. Come on.
You got it.
All right.